This year, the revival, we're focusing on the verse from the second book of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, which is, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." And St. Peter here speaks about spiritual growth. And the first thing he mentions is faith, because faith is the foundation of our spiritual growth. Without faith, I can't even start my journey into the spiritual path. And St. Augustine says, "According to the teaching of the Catholic Church, the Christian mind must first be nourished in simple faith in order that it may become capable of understanding things heavenly and earth in eternal. Thus it is said by the prophet, 'Unless you believe, you shall not understand.'" And this is Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. A question here: why are we here in church tonight? And we can answer and say to pray, which is obviously correct. But without us having faith, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't pray, we wouldn't fast, we wouldn't read our Bible. Because we do all these things because we have faith that God exists and that He's listening and He's watching over us. And that's why we're here. God, who we do not see, this is faith. So tonight I'm going to speak about two points. The first is, we're going to briefly speak about what is faith. And second, because the world today is becoming more and more corrupt, I want to focus on where is our faith and trust in tribulations. So let's start with the first point, which is, what is faith? And to explain this, let's go to St. Paul, his famous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, where he says what? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And St. Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he explains what he means by this in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." This means that we have hope in God. Now, do we see God? No, we don't see God. So why do we have hope in Him? Because I believe in Him and I trust in Him through faith. So again, I believe in God who I don't see. This is what faith in God means. And there are different types of faith. One type of faith is the faith that I believe that Christ is God. I believe in His incarnation, His death, His resurrection, His ascension into the heavens. So this first type of faith, which is basically the faith of the church, the creed that we recite, the faith in the church, the faith of the church. There's another type of faith, which is the fruitful living faith. This is the faith that is shown through good works. And as we know from St. James, he tells us what? "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And there's a Benedictine monk that comments on the Nahda verse of St. Peter that we read and says, this is Bede, he says, "When Peter talks about virtue here, he does not mean the power to perform miracles, but the strength to lead a good life," which means putting our faith into practice. If we fail to do this, our faith is dead, and we become aiders or helpers and abettors or partners of those who want to destroy any good works we may have done. So if faith without works is dead, then as we said, fruitful faith that is alive is shown through our good works. This is the second type of faith. There's another type of faith, which is the faith that I have in God, where I don't worry about anything at all in life, in this world, because I know that He has me in His hands. This is the kind of faith that we're going to focus on the second point. So faith is also trust. I trust in God. I put every aspect of my life in God's hands. It's not knowledge that we have in our mind. For example, if we ask a 3 or 4-year-old about his father's profession, height, or weight, he probably won't tell us much about any of these things. But who in this world has more trust in his dad than this little kid? So he doesn't have much knowledge about his dad, but he trusts him with all his heart. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." If we would only trust God with all our hearts and have faith of a little kid, of a little child, we would be the most laid-back people, the most relaxed people ever. But our problem is that sometimes we know too much, worldly knowledge, I mean, and we trust too little. And actually, sometimes the more we know, this worldly knowledge doesn't increase our faith. It actually weakens our faith. As we mentioned, faith is the foundation of our spiritual path. Without faith, many have left Christianity. Take tribulations for as an example. We can ask, who can understand tribulations in the world? They happen, and we can't understand why they're happening. Things like sudden deaths, murders, persecutions, babies dying. We don't understand them, but somehow they happen for the salvation of the world. They happen for our own benefit. We don't understand them, but we know that God is compassionate and He knows what He's doing. So we have faith in Him. Without this faith in Him, then I'm gonna start doubting and I'm gonna stray completely away from Him and not even start in the path of spirituality. St. Paul tells us something very important in Hebrews 11. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And the key part of the verse here is, by faith we understand. This doesn't mean that we stop at that, at faith only, and that we don't believe in logic or science. But what we're saying here is that by faith we understand, meaning that we start with faith and afterwards we go into logic. But we can't cancel faith and start with logic right away. God revealed to us that He created the world. Now from this point on, of course, by believing that this is true, that He created the world, now let's think with our mind of what follows, how we live, how we interact, and so on. The logic part. When we see something hard in life, a hard tribulation, logically, this is crazy, and it makes no sense to us. But again, by faith we understand. St. Augustine says, therefore, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand. Again, therefore, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand. And again, going to Hebrews 11, St. Paul continues in verse 6 and says something important that's related to all types of faith. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is meaning existent, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So here St. Paul links pleasing God with faith. This verse simply means that just by coming to speak to God, by coming to ask something from God, this on its own is faith. Because if we didn't believe that He is present, then we wouldn't come to Him. When we stand to pray or talk with God, this means that we're standing in front of someone that we can't see. This is faith. Also notice from this verse that whoever pleases God, pleased Him through faith. If we don't have faith, then it's impossible to succeed in our spiritual life, because again, faith is the foundation of our spiritual path. Now let's go to our second point, which is, where is our faith and trust during tribulations? In life, we sometimes put our faith and trust in people or in our possessions, whatever we own. When everything is good and I'm comfortable, then we follow God because everything is good and dandy in our lives. But as soon as something happens in my life, a tribulation, a hardship, then I find myself looking for worldly solutions, and my faith and my security that I had in God is now completely shaken. And as we mentioned, we even go as far as turning against God. God in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet says, we read, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So cursed are we if we're putting our trust in man instead of God. He tells us, don't put your faith and trust in anything in this world. Don't rely on anyone in this world or even on yourself, but rely on the one that can never die and has the power to give you eternal life. Let's use as an example cheating. Cheating in school or cheating in our taxes, for example. When I cheat, where do I put my trust? In men or in God? Obviously, I put it in men. So I basically tell God, you know that I trust you in all, but I need my friend to pass this exam. I need to look at what he wrote so I can pass my exam. Or I need my accountant to write this amount so I can get more money. Everyone does it. and it's for me to get a good grade or for me to get more money for my children or even to give to church. Here, do I truly trust in God? Of course not. Why? Because I chose to put my trust in man, and God says clearly, cursed is the man who trusts in man. And on top of it, I committed a sin, which is cheating or stealing. And this is one of the reasons why God says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, because when we trust in man, we can commit sin. So again, when I cheat, what happens? I put my trust in man, and also the next part of the verse says that our hearts depart from the Lord. Our heart departs from the Lord. And that's why it's very dangerous to put our faith in man or in ourselves, because our heart departs from the Lord. St. Basil the Great says, the scripture declares that for anyone to place his trust either in himself or in anyone else is to alienate himself from the Lord. So God is not the problem. God is never the problem. The problem is us. As St. Basil says, we are the ones who put our trust in ourselves, in man, or in anything else, and that's why we fail miserably, because we alienate ourselves or separate ourselves from God. We choose willingly to trust in any other person or any other thing than God. We worry in life because we don't have faith in God. We stress in life because we don't have faith in God. We feel overwhelmed because we don't have faith in God. We fear in life because we don't have faith in God. We choose to have faith in ourselves or anyone or anything else in the world rather than to have faith in God. In the book of Isaiah the prophet, God says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So what is God going to do if we live with him and have faith in him? His promise to us here is what? That he will hold us by the hand and guide us in life. This is his promise. Whenever the devil tries to put us down and create anxiety in our lives, we have to turn to God right away and tell him, my Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, teach me how to have faith in you. And please take my hand, help me, and guide me. We have to learn how to throw all our cares on him. Leave it in his hands. We have to truly learn how to put everything that we have in God's hands and watch the miracles that he's going to do in our lives. Our problem sometimes is that our pride won't allow us to leave everything in God's hands. We want to control everything in our lives. So if we have a problem in life, then I will fix it. I'm going to take care of it. Me. Why don't we learn to put it in God's hands, where he will for sure take care of it? When people hear this, they say, and that we have to leave everything in God's hand, this is not satisfying for them. They say, yes, Abuna, I understand that God will take care of it, but I'm talking about now. What do I do? Actually, you don't understand at all. Because when we say it's in God's hand, then that's it. We have to have faith that it truly is in his hand and wait and watch how God will take care of it. This is how in the midst of tribulation, we're going to be able to grow spiritually. We have to do our part, of course, get guidance, do what we're supposed to do. But when we reach the maximum that we reached, and that's it, there's no other solution, then I have to have full faith in God with all my heart. Just like when the disciples didn't have enough food to feed the multitude. I come to my Lord with the 5 loaves and 2 fish and tell him that's it. I did everything that I can and now it's in your hand. I can't do anything else. This is the right spirit that we have to have and not the opposite, where I think because I reach the max I can do then, and then there's no solution after that. I get discouraged because I reached my max. If I think this way, this is me again relying on myself and my ego, and I'm not leaving it in God's hands. Mother Teresa says, do not allow yourselves to be disheartened by any failure, as long as you have done your best. Neither glory in your success, but refer all to God in deepest thankfulness. If you are discouraged, it is a sign of pride, because it shows you trust in your own powers. So relying on myself will never allow me to leave it in God's hands, and it will always lead me to be discouraged. Saint Cyril of Alexandria says, just because we are powerless to accomplish anything, we should not let God be accused by our inability to understand how he will accomplish things beyond our understanding. So we tried everything in our power to fix a problem, to find a solution for this problem. Now we reach the point where our hands are tied and we don't see any possible solution whatsoever for this problem. Saint Cyril says that's it. It's not because we don't see a solution for our problem with our limited minds that God doesn't have a solution for us. He says after that, what is then beyond our comprehension is received by faith and not by investigation. So if we investigate with our limited minds, then yes, there's no solution because we tried everything and we reached the max. But Saint Cyril is saying that it shouldn't be investigated with our limited mind because with God, as we read in Saint Paul in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand. In the time of Moses the prophet, we read in the book of Numbers, when the Jews were in the wilderness, because of the complaints of the Israelites, which didn't please God, God told Moses that he will give them meat for a whole month until meat becomes disgusting to them. So Moses the prophet asked God, how will we have meat for a whole month? Are we going to have to slay all the livestock that we have to have enough food to feed everyone? And God responds and says, and this is the Septuagint version in the Orthodox Study Bible, Numbers 11 verse 23, is the Lord's hand unable to provide for them? Is the Lord's hand unable to provide for them? So God tonight asks all of us this question. Is the Lord's hand unable to provide for you in your life? Is the Lord's hand unable to provide when we get stuck in a problem in our life? God is basically begging us to turn to Him with any kind of problem, hardships, tribulations, where we find no solutions for them. And He says, put everything in my hand and I'll do the miracle for you. But again, these miracles cannot be comprehended at all with our limited minds because we're only going to understand them, what? Through faith. We have to have faith in His promises. And this is one of the promises. He says in Proverbs, and you all know this verse, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. God is saying, give yourself to me. Give yourself to me. Put your life in my hand and watch the amazing things I'm going to do with you. Again, as we mentioned, our pride might not allow us to give Him our whole self. Because again, we're fooled into thinking that we have control over things in life. Maybe because we want to live life with no restriction, meaning be part of worldly things where God is not present. So we're not ready to give God our hearts. And these things will for sure stop us from putting our life in God's hands. We're going to find ourselves worrying every time there's a problem. We're going to find ourselves stressing with things that didn't even happen, and our thoughts will keep on scaring us that something could potentially happen to us or to our family. If we only give God our weak self, if we only put our life in His hand, then we shouldn't worry at all. We wouldn't waste our time thinking of a solution to our problems because we're going to have faith that He knows what we're going through and He's going to take care of it and deliver us from this problem in a miraculous way. So let's go to God and put everything, every problem, every hardship, every tribulation in His hands because He can do miracles. Maybe you heard this poem before. I found it to be very nice to show that we should leave everything in God's hands. This poem was written by Paul Sinaraj, who was a missionary in India. He says this, a basketball in my hand is worth $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hand is worth about $32 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth about $6. A baseball in Mark McGuire's hand is worth $19 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hand. A tennis racket in Pete Sampras's hand is a Wimbledon championship. It depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hand will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hand will part the mighty sea. It depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hand is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hand is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hand will feed thousands. It depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hand will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. As you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. so we can put our concern, our worries, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our families, and our relationships in God's hand, because it depends whose hands it's in. So any problem, big or small, in our life, let's cast it at God's feet and let Him figure it out, because He loves us and He cares for us. We have to ask Him for help. He's the only one that can truly deliver us from our worries. St. Peter, who learned this through his experience with our Lord, says to us very clearly, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So why do we still waste time in worrying or stressing? Why don't we just have full faith in Him and throw everything on Him? God has no benefit at all taking upon Himself our cares. The only thing He cares for is us. Our well-being is enough for Him to go and get nailed on the cross. Why? Because He loves us that much. David the prophet says in Psalm 55, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." We will never fail if we only have faith in Him. Sometimes also we act like we have faith in God, but because we don't really have a relationship with Him, we're not able to see God's work in our life. We think we're trusting in God and we have faith in God's work, but in reality, our trust is still in ourselves. So it's only that we think that we have faith, but our trust is still in myself. And to illustrate this, there's a story of one of the desert father of a Bessarion, who was a holy man. Maybe you heard this account before. One time he was walking with his disciple along the seashore. His disciple looked at Abba Bessarion and said, "Abba, I'm extremely thirsty." Abba Bessarion prayed and told his disciple, "Drink from the sea." The disciple tasted the water and it tasted sweet. So he drank and started to put some of his leather in his leather bottle. Abba Bessarion told him, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" His disciple replied, "Forgive me, Abba. It is from fear of being thirsty later on." The Abba replied, "God is here, God is everywhere." Basically, trust in God who provided for you and who will continue to provide for you at all times. So sometimes this is us. This is what we do with God. We fill a bottle or two just in case God doesn't give us this water again. Again, this is us putting our trust in ourselves and not having faith in God. So we need to work on our spiritual life and get closer to God and trust in Him. Faith in God will increase through prayers. So let's focus on our prayer life. To conclude, as we saw, faith is the foundation of our spiritual path. And there are different types of faith. There is the faith of the church that we believe in. There's the living, fruitful faith. And there's also the faith where we put our life in the hands of God. And as St. Paul told us, faith is the key for us to understand many things. As he said, by faith we understand. And he also told us that whoever pleases God pleases Him through faith. So we must have our faith in God and put our trust in Him and not in anything else. When we reach a point in life where we feel hopeless and that there's no solution, we have to have faith that God has us in His hand. Let's work on casting our burdens on Him and leave everything in His hands. May the Lord increase all of our faith and help us to grow in the spiritual path, and may He help us to only have faith and trust in Him so that we can cast everything on Him without ever worrying. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.